This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, there's all that bullshit of like, men want a woman that's like, they can rescue and like be the hero. And your response to me was then fucking rescue me.
Yeah, rescue
like,
me.
Like, fucking do it.
You want to rescue? Fucking.
I welcome it.
Go for it. You want a project? I hope you're a fucking EMT, okay? I hope you're certified in fire rescue, CPR, the Heimlich maneuver. If you can stabilize a compound fracture, get over here and rescue me.
You think that's not attractive to me? I would love that. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spera, and I am back with another great episode for you guys and live from LA. How about that, huh? Found myself a little studio to give a try. Very, very excited. So I have my second LA guest ever, I believe, on the pod today. But before we get to her, real quick, guys, we are sponsored by SunsetLakeCBD.com. You've heard me talk about them before. I use it all the time. My roommate just got into it. And we have a promo code for you, SGS20, for 20% off. Listener favorites are anything with the melatonin. All right. If you have trouble sleeping, they have tons of different products. You could take gummies. You could take the CBD drops that are stronger if you want the extra relaxation with the melatonin. But truly, they have so many great products. They also have it for your pet. And you can use the code as much as you want. So check them out. SunsetLakeCBD.com. Promo code SGS20. And if you want extra episodes or to support the show, join the Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. That's just me solo having a lot of ADD, honestly, but giving you updates about life in real time. And those episodes are weekly. So we appreciate if you support the show. All right, without further ado, I got to get to my amazing guest this week. You might have seen her on Comedy Central or Hulu, or she's also a regular at The Comedy Store and The Comedy Cellar. My friend, put your hands together for Nicole Amy Schreiber.
Thank you so much. I'm so impressed. You just did all of that with no prompter.
With no prompter? Oh,
nothing
thank you.
Written thank out. You. You didn't like, nothing. It was just a flawless delivery.
Oh, thank you.
I would have bumbled through that whole fucking thing.
I've been doing it a few years. Like, I got used to it, you know?
I mean, it's phenomenal.
Thank you. I like to make it quick. You're here. I don't want to waste your time.
Yeah, you made that chop, chop, veet, veet.
Yeah,
that
you
was
come to the
terrific.
Show. I'm like, this is the info. This is our sponsor, who we appreciate very much. Shout out to them. But yeah, I actually just blanked on what I was about to say.
I'm like, you've
your
done everything so flawlessly.
It threw me off. You're like, you do it flawlessly. I was like, well, that's
do
the
you
episode.
Do not get compliments?
Thank
because
you.
That compliment really threw you.
I think people are more surprised at my energy up top. They'll be like, oh, it's like, yeah, let's be alive, you know?
I'll be honest, I didn't think your energy was overwhelming in any capacity. I found your energy to be your energy. Like, I feel like that is just you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I would never be like, Erica Spera, what a bundle of energy. But I also wouldn't be like, Erica, is she overdosing on CBD?
Yeah,
like,
no.
You know, you don't exactly.
Not an overdose.
Yeah.
I'm not a high anxiety person.
But God, I envy you.
But I attract high anxiety people in my life.
That makes sense. That's why you found me.
Yes. Actually, there's a TikTok we might get to later, but I'll just say the line right now, and I'm curious what you think about this, right? It's something of like low maintenance equals low effort from men that you date. Like, it's not a flex for you to be low maintenance.
Yeah, I would say that. I would agree with that, yeah.
And I think I naturally fall into that category because I'm like, truly, there's not much that rattles me or that I like really care about in those in those parts. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I'm not a, I need a 5-star hotel girl, something like that, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, I agree when they say, you know, if you don't ask or set certain standards, people then just won't meet them.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just meet whatever standard you give them. And they're like, oh, great. This is, like, less work with this person.
So I, in the beginning, should then say of a relationship, be like, I don't need the Four Seasons, but I love the Four Seasons. Is that going to, at some point, get me the Four Seasons?
I don't know, because I feel like early dating, especially with online dating now, truly is not only a gamble, but I understand not making high investments from an online date. Yeah. And I don't think that necessarily even makes me a low maintenance person.
Yeah.
But who am I to look at a man and be like, no, you absolutely need to be buying me like this expensive dinner on a first date. We've never met.
There's this girl on TikTok I saw. She lives in Dubai. And she always talks about the dates she's going on. And she's like, if you're not buying me a purse for our first date, we're not going out. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What? But, where does one find that confidence?
Okay, but do we truly think these women are also not lying?
I mean, even to have the confidence to say that in jest.
Yeah, and to post it on the internet.
To put that out into the world, like if you're not buying me a purse, yeah. I mean, first of all, how are you ever going to have a normal relationship with, men see that, and then they're like, mm-hmm. This is the girl I want to go out with? I want to go out with the girl who demands a designer purse on a first date.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two ways to see it, right? Because I've heard many men say when they like look at a girl's Instagram or look to date a woman, mm-hmm. they will think to themselves, how expensive is it going to be to like afford this woman? And not in the sense of like, you need to buy her stuff, yeah. but just like seeing her lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where immediately they're like, can I afford the lifestyle she already has? Because women in general don't date down or end up like, quote, marrying down in terms of status.
Yeah.
Which is why often for women, the more successful you become, the harder it is for you to find somebody.
That's why I like to keep my success low.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only reason I've been underachieving in my career is so that I don't alienate. I would never want a man to feel insecure about his earning potential ever. So God. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to really dumb it down in a lot of ways.
But it's crazy to sit there and say, I don't make any money, so why am I intimidating to men in that sense? But the fact that we do comedy will still be very intimidating to them.
Oh, totally. 1,000%.
Right.
I might not have money, but I have a bigger dick than you. Yeah. Like
I'm more confident, usually,
stage,
is what it is.
Wait, totally. I go on stage every night. Sure. Can you hold a conversation with 3 people? Great. I can talk to 1,000 people in a room.
Yeah. And not be nervous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's also something with the money thing. Of like, have you ever heard this saying? If you marry for money, you're going to pay for it the rest of your life.
Yeah. Never heard that. But
no.
That's math.
So, because I've never been purse girl. I've never had some dude that was so loaded. He just was buying me all this stuff and taking me on lavish vacations. Uh-huh. And you look at that life and part of you goes, well, that looks really nice. Like, wow, that'd be nice to at least experience it once and see what like.
Yeah.
But like, if you're going to be purse girl, that also comes with some expectations that they do not tell you.
What expectations do you think it comes with? Like, what do you think, well, purse girl has to do?
Well, I think the number one is like looking good all the time.
See, that to me is the highest price to pay. And yeah. that sounds exhausting.
Exhausting. I don't want it.
I put on a bra that had underwire today for your podcast.
Thank you so
and
much.
I'll tell you right now, the second I get home, these titties are dropping. And I don't even have tits. I essentially could be the girl who wears no bra.
Yeah.
But I put one on because society says wear a bra.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to, by the way, the younger generation, you know, the younger generation just walks around with no bra.
I mean, they walk around with no clothes. I have a whole theory of that's how Gen Z got rid of the word fat. They just wear such little clothing. It's like nothing is pinching anywhere.
True.
You know?
So true.
Where they're like, call me fat. And it's like, I don't even think about them being fat in my head. I'm more just like, wow, look at her tits. Like they're distracting.
They're distracting. Also, you can't have a muffin top when you're not wearing clothes.
Truly.
The muffin top isn't even part of their vocabulary anymore.
That's my theory. Love handles were very much a thing when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a love handle on a Gen Z.
That is
They've figured
so...
it out. I don't know what it is, but they figured it out.
I hate them. I really do. Honestly. I really fucking hate them. I think they're the worst fucking pieces of shit ever. I hope they all fucking die in a Holocaust.
Okay, I don't think that bad. But I will say,
that's a good soundbite. You should
that's going to be the clip.
A Jew saying they should all die in a Holocaust.
Yeah, that's the clip. I'll post on my Instagram.
That's going
for
viral.
You.
I can't wait for the people. I posted Holocaust jokes last month. I still get messages from Jews being like, "How dare you?" And I was like, "I don't know what to tell you. You might be one of like 50 Jews who doesn't like my joke, and then there's 49 others.
There you go.
Who love my joke. So
well, you are the person that is allowed my Jewish to make clip. That joke.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. I'm like, not. Listen, it's my fucking trauma too. Don't tell me how I get to process it.
Can I, Gen Z, this is the thing that annoys me about them. The work ethic part.
I gotta be honest, I don't even know what their work ethic is. I hate them.
You haven't seen TikToks that are like Gen Z emails?
No, what are they like?
It's just insane of like, a lot of it I feel like is weaponizing therapy speak.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, that's a boundary that I don't answer emails after this time.
Do they really do that though? Because I have seen TikToks like that. And I'm just like, is that real? Is that for real? Are there screen grabs of these emails? Because right now it just exists in theory to me. Like in theory, that's what they're writing. But I don't know if that's what they're actually doing. My goddaughter is Gen Z. And I love her, but she is an asshole. I think she's absolutely one of the most wonderful creatures alive, but she'll never listen to this. Like I don't even know how to talk to her. It's just kind of annoying. And they all have this way of posting on social media where it's so brief, it's weird. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you doing this on purpose or do you just have an inability to express yourself? Do you have no access? I think because they've spent their lives just 140 characters or less kind of thing, that they've never really been able to like formulate full sentences.
Yeah. I was offered a job. I won't say what company, but I was up for it and because they thought I was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But this company was making a new clothing store that was all, quote, Gen Z branding.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to submit a packet with like, give us like 5 Gen Z tweets you would tweet and 5 Gen Z like concepts for this and that. And I was just sitting there blank ideas of I don't even know what that is. Do you mean funny?
Slaps.
Like, yeah, I'm like, do you just want Gen Z slang or do you want that like low character? Like they brought back writing the letter U instead of Y-O-U.
Yeah, that is one thing they've done. By the way, I went on a date with a guy.
Which that's an ick for us older people.
A few months ago, and a guy who, in my age, early to mid late 30s, he wrote in a text to me, he wrote, what are you up to? R, letter U, UP, number 2. And I was like, oh, you have a daughter who's Gen Z. That's your problem.
Or a T9 phone.
He has a T9 phone.
Like once we got a keyboard, we started typing the full words. So I don't understand what's happening.
Wild. First of all, if you abbreviate, unless you change it to like shortcuts, it'll change it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only thing I can think is that it's an influence from his Gen Z daughter.
It might be.
And I'm like, oh, this is not gonna, you can't
but
talk
see, that's
to me
an
like
ick
this.
For us.
That's a massive ick.
So I feel like any ick we have, Gen Z is like all four.
By the way, calling it an ick, I don't even say ick. This is the first time I've ever, you just said ick and I said ick. And now I'm like, ick.
Yeah, that's
like
also
I don't,
Gen
I'm
Z
not
thing.
An ick girl.
Well, I think icks are childish in a way.
Yeah.
That we say it's essentially like this indirect deal breaker. And Jared Fried's whole special has great things about this. And he makes a great point where he says, an ick, your ick, like a real ick is, it icks you, but it's someone else's like husband or boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's never things that are like obvious, like bad breath. It's like, yeah, who is turned on by bad breath?
Yeah.
Or okay with bad breath?
Yeah.
But something like that texting, there's another woman that's like, whatever.
So it's, yeah. What if there is someone who likes bad breath though?
Maybe. You never know with men, honestly. But the ick is a female thing and that's the whole point he makes.
Yeah.
And it's when women go on a date already like not sure if they want to fuck that guy.
Yeah.
So he said the ick doesn't exist for men because we don't go on dates with women we wouldn't sleep with. Like we don't even consider attraction can grow.
Fascinating.
Which is 1,000% true.
Attraction cannot grow, but it can wane.
Wane. Okay.
Yeah.
Has that happened to you? Do you feel like?
I think a man has fallen out of attraction with me for sure.
Out of
attraction with me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So a man's attraction to you, when he goes on a date with you, that is because he is attracted to you.
Yes, 100%.
And it is entirely possible that attraction will wane with time. They will lose their attraction to you.
They can, yeah. Yeah. But it's also because anytime I interview men on this pod, they're like, well, attraction is what gets every woman in the door, but Like, who they are is what makes you really into them beyond that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this always brings up the debate of, like, when should you sleep with somebody?
Wait, I can say that from having only waited for one person, and that's the current relationship I'm in.
Really?
Yeah.
How long do you mind if I ask? How long did you wait?
I waited like 2 weeks. And the only reason I waited 2 weeks is because I was doing ayahuasca, and I told him I didn't want him in my energy field. Swear to God.
That's the most hellish shit I've ever
heard. Swear to God. He was like, when he heard that, he was like, I'm sorry, what? I was like, I'm doing ayahuasca. I'm on this like food cleanse and energy cleanse. We literally cannot make out or touch.
Or touch.
Yeah.
How many dates did you go on in that time, though? 2 weeks?
3 dates. And we literally just hung out. I think I hugged him for like a second, and like it was like a prolonged hug, but then I was like, get out of my energy field. I was like, I'm about to pay $700 and go sit in a converted garage in Santa Clarita. Okay. I need my energy to be fucking clear. The shaman's coming all the way from his cult in Israel. I was like, I need to have my force field clear.
What I love about this is you weren't at all actively thinking, I should not sleep with this man. You were like, I am sticking to energy cleanse.
Sticking to an energy cleanse.
So indirectly, you followed the rule of wait longer to have sex.
Yeah, wait longer to have sex.
And the result is you saying, actually, that is the right move.
It is
whether
you're
doing an energy cleanse or not. But hell of an excuse.
Hell of an excuse.
To give
by
a
the
man.
Way, I don't think I could have had any other excuse that would have kept me from sleeping with him. I could have been having a hemorrhaging period. I could have been flowing like a heavy, heavy flow, the heaviest flow you could possibly imagine, like a super plus tampon in 1 hour flow. And I still would have had sex with him. But energy, oh yeah. Well, also like how much the ayahuasca was costing me. I was like, I am not going to fuck this up. This
is true. Okay.
I was also like very much on this like mission to like figure my like shit out.
So it was really a combination of just several parts of your personality.
The woo-woo LA.
The cheapness
a
little
bit. By the way, I was never woo-woo LA. I was never a woo-woo person.
Everybody says to me, and everyone looks at me and they're like, now that you've moved here, you're going to become woo-woo. It's going to happen to you. I think I'm a pretty hard one to crack, though.
Be my kind of woo-woo. So the only reason I became woo-woo is because I spoke to Neil Brennan about it, and Neil was not a woo-woo person.
He doesn't seem like it. No,
not at all. And I've known Neil for many years, and he was never woo-woo.
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, I was having, you know, a mental breakdown, as a lot of people did. And he was like, oh, yeah, I did ayahuasca. I'm a changed person. And then I talked to him, and I was like, oh, my God, Neil is a completely changed person. Wow. And because of that, I was like, all right, I'll try it. Because I saw how much it transformed him.
But you went from no woo-woo to ayahuasca? Mm-hmm. That feels like a huge jump.
Huge jump.
But you had at least done like mushrooms and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
Yeah, no.
Because that feels like a very much 0 to 100.
It was probably like 20 to 100.
Okay.
Like I had done mushrooms, like I'd microdose mushrooms, I'd microdose LSD. Like a handful of times.
Okay.
I'd done a hero's dose of mushrooms once. But yeah, no. I was like, let's get the long jump or what's that where you carry the pole vault. I like pole vaulted.
Right into
mind altering drugs.
Which is one of the hardest events in track.
Yeah, it's
period.
Literally I mean it just even finding the space to do it. So I did ayahuasca. That was my like ultimate.
Did
jump
you go
into
fully solo with a friend? What'd
I did it
do?
with a I'm like kind
you do
of,
it with
I'm,
a guide.
I'll
right?
be honest, I'm kind of part of a religious cult.
Oh really?
Yeah, I'll just say it. Yeah.
Religious cult.
I mean it has to do ayahuasca in the United States, it has to be part of a religion. I used air quotes for those of you listening and not watching.
But basically no one that you really knew personally did it with
no,
you?
No, I mean, I did it when I did not know anyone there. No, I just
That's
been referred. I'd been referred by Neil. And you know, Neil swore up and down that this was the greatest thing he'd ever done in his entire life. And everyone there was fantastic and everybody was fantastic. And I absolutely loved it.
Okay. Cause
life changing.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What I've heard through the grapevine of ayahuasca is you essentially are like shitting and puking all night.
So you're not, it's not an all night thing. You puke, you're not shitting. There's no shitting. Your ass isn't just like spontaneously exploding. And that's coming from someone who has IBS. Like
that's especially why I wanted to ask you.
So here's the funny thing. I was like, what if I do? And Neil's like, literally the shaman has done ayahuasca 1,000 times and he has seen in his entire time, one person shit their pants.
Really?
And so I was like, well, 1%, one person is one person.
You're like,
so
it'll be me.
I did wear a pad.
I mean, I don't blame you. That's,
I wore a pad
because
I was like, if there's an off chance I shit my pants, I want something to catch it.
Especially going in with the IBS.
Yeah. So I did not poop. There is puking. I only puked the first time I did ayahuasca. After that, I never puked again.
How many times have you done it?
I've done it 6 times. Wow. And then I'm going again in October. Yeah.
So do you feel like this is almost your drug of choice? Like, you're not really a weed person.
I would say this is my drug of choice, or ketamine.
Really? You've done ketamine?
I've done ketamine therapy, yeah.
Oh, therapy. Yeah. That I've heard
of. And recreationally, too.
You're like, yeah. Well, not all professional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, at this point in my life, I'm just like, fuck it. My whole thing is like, whatever's going to alter my mind in a way that makes it a more pleasant place to exist. Like, I don't understand when people are like, yeah, I'm a pretty like easygoing person. Like, yeah, I'm like sad sometimes. Like, when people are like, don't do depression or anxiety, I'm like, what happened to you that you didn't get this? And I realize like so much of it is like my upbringing. Like, I had a mom who is just a nightmare to be around. Like, she starts every conversation with, are you okay? And ends it with, be careful. Like, I just never stood a chance of being an easygoing person. So it's like,
does that always make you feel like something is wrong?
Something's, yeah.
Or it's about to be.
Oh, 1,000%. And I'm still that way. Like, I'm in a relationship right now and it's really great. And I'm still like, well, that's only a matter of time before you end this.
Well,
yeah.
It's also your history.
Also my history. Yeah, yeah, that too. We have broken up twice.
It hasn't been one straight shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm not an anxious person, but I very much don't get back with people because of that.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, no, I don't.
Why don't you?
Because I'll feel like a fucking idiot when it doesn't work out, honestly. And also, I do have a strong belief that if nothing really changed, it's just not going to work out again. So your situation's interesting because the breakup was, I'm not ready for a relationship right now.
The breakup was, he had gotten, when we met, he had been out of a relationship for like maybe a month, 2 months. I think
like
2 months.
And it was like a relationship
max.
Of years.
He had been with her for 3 years and he had been engaged for one of those years.
Yeah, I've had one of those, and then that was the excuse I was given.
Yeah.
But it very much feels like anyone in that situation, it typically, no, they don't commit to the next person.
I mean, he said, he's like, when we first started dating, he's like, I 1,000% saw you as a rebound.
Oh, wow.
He's like, but then I realized that you're awesome. And he's like, and that's a different situation.
Mm.
And then when we got back together, I think we probably got back together because it was like the holiday season and he was like lonely and like, you know, and then we tried it again and he just wasn't ready for a relationship. And then we broke up. It was probably 3.5 months we had been broken up. Yeah. Like 3.5 months we had been broken up.
Yeah.
And now we're back, you know, I mean.
But it's great now.
I mean, it's really great. It's almost great to the point where I'm like,
that you're suspicious
of
it.
Yeah, I'm suspicious, yeah.
Because, I mean, the line of, I'm not ready for a relationship, I've always said on this pod, and many people say, means just with you.
Yeah.
But then this person keeps coming back, so that has to be very confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing, because then he comes back and he'll say things like, you know, I'm like, his level of comfort with me, you know, like his ability to connect with me, like just, you know. He'll say like reaffirming things and it's like, okay, well, I don't know.
Because do you at all talk about what did you do in that time off that we were not together?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any self-improvement? Is it that you needed to like date around for a minute because you were in a committed thing for so long?
So I think the first time we broke up, he did date around. It was just like, oh, boy.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that feeling with people. I'm like, you're fresh into this dating pool. I don't think you realize what else is out there in the negative sense.
Yeah. And so I think he got out there and was like, it was a lot of no's. But when we broke up the second time, I think he was like, he like really like took some time for himself. You know, he left LA. He went out of town to teach at a college for a little bit. Mm. And, you know, he was gone. He was out of LA for 2 months. So I think in that time, like being out of LA, kind of being in, you know, a different world, he was able to like get some perspective. And, you know, it's so interesting. Like I
hope you feel, by the way, I'm not judging you because there's plenty of people I feel like I still would have went back on my own rule. You know,
it
would have been very, very hard to say no if they really came back.
I've broken
up with a lot of people. Because that's the other part
of
it. I have not had someone really come back that hard, you know?
I've never had anybody come back that hard. And I've also never wanted anybody to come back. Like, usually when I break up with somebody, I'm just like, oh, this isn't meant to be. Like, it hurts. It still fucking sucks.
Right.
like my last serious relationship before this, like if had he come back, I don't know if I would have gone back. I would have been like, no, this isn't right. But like for some reason, this one feels right in a way that no other relationship has ever felt.
That's interesting.
Like I feel a connection with him that I've never felt with anyone before.
Yeah, that's very hard.
And he's like, he's just like such a real, like a good person, you know?
Mm. Do you feel like it's the most in love you've ever been, but also the most you've also felt loved?
No. I mean, we're not at the, we're no, we haven't said I love you.
Not saying I love you, but in terms of like being around them and their actions, because like the last person I was seeing, I like, the thing I took away from that was I was like, oh, this person like really loved me on a level that I was like, oh, I didn't realize how much that was missing with other people that I was so into. And essentially it just raised the bar for me. And it's not, and it's not like crazy big thing. So it's hard for me to even explain what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just like being in someone's presence where you're like, wow, they actually really care for me.
He really cares for me. He really like, he has a lot of respect for me. He has a lot of respect for, you know, the way I like carry myself in the world.
Which is great to have.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of respect for myself, the way I carry myself in
the
world. Like,
You're great.
It's funny. It's like, you know, I'm not like, I'm the funniest fucking comic ever. I'm the hottest bitch in the room.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like, I think I'm a fantastic person. I think my parents raised a really great fucking kid.
Or even more so, a fantastic partner.
Yeah.
Because you're someone that I'm new to LA and you've been so kind to me and so helpful to me. And so it's like, I got a taste of that. I can imagine if I dated you, I would be getting...
Totally.
A great partner.
I really pride myself on showing up for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not coming to your birthday party. I'm absolutely not. I don't give a fuck about your goddamn fucking birthday party. But if you need to go to the emergency room at 2 a.m., oh, I'll fucking be there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll be your advocate in there.
Right.
I'll tell a nurse off. I'll tell her she needs to hurry the fuck up and get you these fucking drugs.
Yeah.
Because you have a kidney stone and you're in a lot of pain.
Maybe, maybe even just more so a one-on-one person.
Yeah.
I've had friends like that where I'm like, they don't like hanging in groups.
No,
they
don't
like one-on-one
groups.
Time with their friends.
Yeah, I like one-on-one time. I'll do a little bit of group hang, like the other night when it was like me, you, and Catherine. Like, I'll do a little bit of a group hang.
But that's so funny to me that that's a group. Is just,
yeah, that's
just two other
two
people,
other people. Mm-hmm.
Instead of
that's,
one.
Yep.
Yeah, I
two,
nailed it.
Two people, that's a group. That's a lot for me. Like, if I'm at the Comedy Store hanging out, like, if there's just too many fucking people around me, I'm like, nope, gotta go. Don't, I can't.
Yeah.
There's just on an auditory level, I'm like, I can't be having a conversation and then hearing some other comic be as loud as I am. Like, we're all, there's too much volume and too close of a proximity.
The worst is when you're at a party and it's loud and you feel your voice starting to hurt from having to talk
so
loud.
Like, oh, you're like, oh, I'm in a full-on scream right now.
You're like, the music's good but a little loud.
Yeah.
I feel like that's partly just getting older.
I really like oh, the guy that I'm dating is deaf in one ear, and he and I think that might be part of the reason why we work out, because I'm so fucking loud. He can only hear 50% of what I'm saying, so it's great.
You just sit on the deaf ear side?
Yeah, I always am on the deaf ear side. It's my favorite place to be.
Lower your volume?
I'm like, oh, it's perfect. Now he has no idea how loud I am. Every other guy I've ever dated is like, you're screaming. This guy is like, you're perfect.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times the only time men want us to be loud is like in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they're like, be as loud as you want.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, we have to be considerate to other people a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole loud in the bedroom thing, I mean, you know, let it out.
Yeah. If it's good.
By the way, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Exactly.
So if you're not fucking well, I'm not... gonna say anything.
Yeah, Nicole is quiet.
Yeah.
You're fucking up in there.
If I'm like,
if you're quiet.
If you have to tell me to speak up. Yeah, no.
Just Newton's laws, baby.
It's Newton's laws.
It's Newton's laws.
Absolutely.
That's whatever. We should tell every man when they take physics.
Yeah.
This also applies to the
this
bedroom.
This also applies to the bedroom.
Bedroom.
If you put the dick in and nothing comes out her mouth, then it's a bummer of a dick.
It's no equal reaction. But also in terms of like, she goes down on you, you go down on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Equal and opposite reaction.
Equal and opposite reaction.
Right? That's one of the
I
laws.
I love what a big fan of oral sex, of receiving oral sex you are.
Me?
Yeah.
I can't believe you're saying this. I feel like, how much have we talked about this?
Well, the other day you were talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm an open book, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
Who's not a fan?
I like it. I'm very much like, I like it a lot, but I'm also just like, penis.
Would you say you're more like a size queen?
For 1,000%.
Really?
And
but
that
do
is
you...
purely based on just probably like the anatomy of my vagina. I think I have a very deep vagina.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, is it that you also can come like that from vaginally. Intercourse?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Oh, well, then that totally makes sense. Yeah. That's most people that are a size queen. They're like, no. It's I finally had a big dick and then realized I can come that way.
Yeah.
And that was the key. It's like, well, if that's the key, that's the key.
Yeah. I have a friend who the guy she's with has a very tiny dick and she's like, oh, I don't care. She's like, he just goes down on me all the time. And I'm like,
there was a whole article
good for you.
Of women giving testimonies that have been with quote small/micropenises.
Uh-huh.
And all of them were like, not a problem at all. Well, one thing is just the tall thing. But I have other tall friends that have said to me, you read tall. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they say, when you walk in a room, like, you are a presence. You are standing up straight, like shoulders out, at all.
Now you're making me self-conscious scared about little my bird. Posture. I'm a real slopey bitch.
But there's something to presence because Kevin Hart has giant presence.
Giant presence.
Not a giant person, obviously. Yeah.
But I bet he is something just a big old dick. Like you can't be that short and that confident
really?
And not have a huge, huge hog.
I mean,
that,
it's a
if
theory.
He had a huge hog, that would make all the sense in the world.
Yeah,
he
has I guess it makes more sense than
the
opposite.
He has the craziest confidence ever.
He does, and he's charming
as
well.
And it's not confidence that's like, I'm trying to compensate for something.
BDE.
It's legit confidence.
Legit BDE.
More and more people are like, you know, short guys are so great. You know, when a short guy is confident, he's able to show up for you in a way that a tall guy just doesn't. Like, tall guys, like, don't. I mean, I'm dating a tall guy now. Tall guys are just... they definitely don't put in the effort that short guys do.
I mean, I have so many theories on this. The episode before this one is my friend, Ian Laura. Do you know him? Comic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's a shorter guy, like 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the whole short king theory.
He reads taller.
See, yes. But he has that quiet confidence about him. But we were all talking about all the short king theory, and I've said it a million times on this pod. I have had sex with men that are super, super tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had sex with men that are shorter than me. I think the shortest I've ever had was maybe like 5'6".
Uh-huh.
But typically like, 5'9", 5'10", I'm 5'11", right? Mm-hmm. But significantly, the people that are around my height or shorter are better in bed.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to, it just wasn't as easy for them to get women.
Yeah.
And they weren't like, quote, as desired growing up, especially. So yeah, they naturally have that in them a little bit where it's more this like, oh, I finally have someone here that I like and I want to, I don't know, keep them around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the thought. I'm obviously not a man, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. Have you been with people shorter?
I've been with people shorter. I think it's, short. There are some short guys who are like so into tall women. That's their thing.
Yeah.
And I have jokes about like being with short guys and like, they'll do the whole like, we're the same height when we're lying down. And I'm like, you got to stop with that sales
pitch.
That's
actually not 100%
true.
I've had some position problems with that.
Yeah, also, I have eyes. Like, I can see.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. It's like the logistics of it are, it's going to be clunky.
Yeah.
But I just like, I don't know. Like, I had a very tall dad. My dad was just like a very big person. He was 6'4", 240. Like, he was a hunk of a man.
Mm-hmm. My dad's 6'5".
Yeah, that's a lot of man. That's a giant chunk of a human.
Yep.
So for me, I don't know, in my head, I equate, safety, masculinity, caretaking, the person who is going to be my protector as like a physical force.
Well, okay. So this is an interesting theory, right? It's like women look for security in three different ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is physical security, like what you just said, where you just feel physically safer with someone bigger than you, stronger than you, right? Mm-hmm. Two is emotional security.
Mm-hmm.
And three is financial security.
Okay.
And those are typically the top three things like women look for in men.
Yeah.
So there's something too, a lot of women let a lot of other shit slide when you have this like big, tall man with you.
Yeah.
Because it just makes you feel a type of way.
Yeah.
That you almost forget about the other
parts. On a biological level, like that is something that I really like. Like I'm like, smush me. just lay on top of me. Like just let your weight go. Just put your weight on me. Like I just want to be, I want to feel like the air is being pressed out of me and I could die. If you passed out there, I would have a hard time getting your body off me.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of where I'm at with like physical chemistry with a guy.
I also feel like there's something to like, I don't want to say being babied, but being babied.
Yeah.
And I'm a tough bitch and I've always been a tough bitch, but it's like, that's when I know I really like you is when I like will become a baby almost in a biological way of like curled up on you and just like literally like you're rubbing my back. And I'm like, actually, this is the best thing ever. Like, you know, like, and I've had that with not even necessarily like tall, huge men, but there's something to like being held that you're like, God, this feels just so safe. Yeah. And so nice.
Yeah. I like the safety of a big body.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of women agree. It's why, I mean, I think it's partly why a lot of women also like dad bobs. There's like a comfort to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind a dad bod. I mean,
I don't either.
Pump the brakes. Like, don't get gross. Like, if I got too much of a bad bod, you'd be like, no. Nah. So goes both ways, babes.
See, this is the debatable thing. This is where the body positivity people get mad.
Yeah.
If you make any comment like that. But I actually think that's just more of a realistic thing.
By the way, I can not want to gain weight and I can call myself fat if I do gain weight because I'm allowed to not like my body.
Right.
No, but I'm allowed to like my body and embrace my body. And I can also say that, like, if a guy didn't like that I gained weight, I would be like, I should lose weight. Like, I don't. Mm.
Like, see, this is like the opposite of Gen Z thinking.
If you signed up for me looking a certain way, like, and that was like a big part of why you were attracted to me, like, I'll try to maintain that. Like, obviously, we get older, shit changes.
Yeah, I was going to say it's unrealistic to think
about it. But like,
I hate the videos where, personally, I hate the videos that it's like the mom being like, I still fit in my wedding dress. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, okay, you know,
like,
great.
We don't.
Yeah, no, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. But like,
but it's less unrealistic, though, if we are to get married later in life.
Yeah.
When our metabolism has already slowed.
Yeah.
If I get married at 40 and like at 50, I'm like, I still fit in my wedding dress. It's kind of like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
How much changed in the 10 years?
Not much. Not much. Changed.
That's a more realistic goal if I was like, I would like to stay around this size as opposed to when I'm fucking, you know, 22.
Yeah. Yeah, if you married me at 20 and I look that way at 40, holy what?
Yeah.
Wild.
And it's interesting that people say this, right? But then we all notice when people have breakups or like get divorced, whatever it is, suddenly they get back into good shape.
Yeah.
And so there is something to the comfort of a relationship. Often we do let ourselves go a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I also don't think there's anything wrong with sitting there and being like, oh, I want to change this.
Yeah.
And I would like to look a different way.
And there's nothing wrong with you saying, I don't value myself as much because I've gained weight. Like, you cannot like your body.
Yeah.
You cannot like yourself if you're heavier.
Right.
Like, just because there's a body positivity movement doesn't mean I have to be positive that I love my body.
Right. Well, the thing is, it's like, because, you know, people have made comments when I'd say something along these lines, right? But I'm always like, it's about me.
Yeah, this isn't about you.
It's about me, and you're interpreting it that it's about you.
Yeah.
So it's like, I look at it like, if I said, like, I don't like how my body is right now, I would like to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always the commenters are like, well, I look like you. So are you saying I need to lose weight? I'm like, no, do whatever the fuck you want.
Do you think you need to lose weight?
Yeah,
no,
you?
Then what's the fucking problem?
I would never say that to another person.
Yeah.
But it's like,
also,
how I say, I find brunettes more attractive. That does not mean I sit there saying blondes are absolutely disgusting people. And need to change. It's like, no, that's what I would like.
Also, if you want to ask me your opinion, if I think you should lose weight or not, ask away. I'll tell you. You want to know if you look fat in those jeans? For real? Do you want to know?
Listen.
Do you want to know what I think or what society thinks?
Yeah.
Because society might think you look great. I might think you look fat because I grew up in a house where everyone was fat phobic.
Yeah, we're from a more fat phobic time, just the 90s alone.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit younger than you, but still, like, yeah, I know I grew up in a different time than the Gen Z.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a line with body positivity sometimes that we are just making excuses for being unhealthy.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And not of what you look like, because I also understand, as someone who currently has been trying to lose weight, I'm like sitting here, like, I'm doing all the healthy things. I know I'm eating right. Like, and the weight's just not moving.
Yeah.
So it's very frustrating if someone was to say to me, like, well, you got to do that. Like, because part of me is like, yeah, I'm fucking trying those things. So, yeah, there's obviously exceptions to this of like, sometimes, like, your body's what it is.
Yeah.
And you can't really get it to change and you have to accept that.
Yeah. 1,000%.
You know, but at the same time, like, yes, like, why do people hire stylists?
Yeah.
It's because they want to look good.
Yeah. They
want to
look
good. So they want the stylist, maybe not to say, you look fat in those pants.
Yeah.
But those are not a flattering cut on you.
Yeah.
Like, we have to maybe re-say how we say it. But indirectly, that's what we're saying is, I've said to friends when they've done the outfit question, I've said, I know you like this outfit more, but you look bigger in this outfit than that outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if you don't care, then wear whatever outfit you want.
I remember one time a girl put a shirt on and she was like, which shirt do you like more? I was like, definitely not that one. And then later on, I found out that she was offended because she thought that I was saying her shoulders looked big. And I was like,
I said nothing about your
shoulders.
She
asked me the fucking difference if I liked one shirt versus the other.
Exactly.
And I said, definitely not that one.
Right.
Like, if you don't want to hear it, if you don't want a fucking opinion, don't ask for it. Also, if you like your body, why do I have to like it too?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why do I have to live in a world where just because you feel a certain way about yourself, I have to agree with it?
Yeah.
Like, there are comedians who are like, I'm super funny. I don't think you're funny.
That's the greatest example.
And there are, like, why do we all have to be on board with how someone feels about themselves?
Yeah.
Good for fucking you.
Yeah.
Good for you for having the confidence to think you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you have the right to think that.
Yeah, I have the right to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all just go about our day.
Right. Well, because two things can be true, right? Because I got schooled from a friend of mine I made a comment once, and it was during the pandemic of, she was, you know, we were catching up, and I said, she's like, what are you up to? And I'm like, I'm working out. I was like, I'm trying to work out. I said, I'm trying to not gain weight and like whatever else I said. And she schooled me. And I think she was right to say this. She was like, hey, just so you know, when you make a comment like that, it makes me feel like you're saying your biggest fear is looking like someone like me. Cause she is plus size.
Yeah.
And I immediately apologized. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Totally.
And she said, I know that's not what you intended, but like those conversations, I just don't want to have with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
Great. Boundary.
And no,
we love a boundary.
No fucking problem, though.
Yeah.
And I totally understood what she was saying.
Yeah.
At the same time, if that is my fear, that's also okay.
1,000%.
So that's what I don't like about body positivity conversation.
Yeah.
It's basically being like, you can't have that fear. I'm like, don't tell me I can't dislike a way I look or have a fear of becoming like plus size.
Yeah. Also, I'm not telling you you can't love your body because you're a plus size person.
No, that's not at all what
so
I'm
don't tell me I can't dislike my body because I don't want to be a plus size person.
Right. And womanhood also is having friends that we look at and go, you're so thin and fucking beautiful to me. And they hate their body.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also not my job to convince them to love their body either.
I'm built like a fucking noodle and I hate my body. Like,
I wish I had your metabolism or whatever's going on
there. I don't even, it's a little bit of a metabolism and probably a lot of anxiety.
See, but so part of me wishes I had that a little bit, you know?
And so, but it's the thing where it's like, I think we're all just like really struggling to like love ourselves and in on so many different levels. And like, the truth is like, as long as you like the way you look and you are comfortable in your own skin and you're living your truth and you're being healthy, be healthy, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, that's when I don't like body positivity comes in.
Like,
when it's like, really?
You just house 7 baskets of French fries. Like, you're not body positive. You have an eating disorder. It's just not healthy. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just like there's so many rules on like women to look certain ways. It's like, why are women putting rules on other women then? It's just like, let us all just feel the way we want to feel about our bodies. And like, just let us, that's it.
Yeah, you just figure out to do what works for you. And also protect your own feelings in whatever way works, right?
Yeah.
So I have plenty of friends that, if you're not in an entertainment space, just are not on social media anymore.
Yeah.
They're just not. Or they put their phone in black and white so they wouldn't look at it as much.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, if looking at social media makes you feel bad about yourself, yeah, then stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, but a lot of times people don't have that power and then they suddenly put it on other people.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, it's because you're doing this.
Yeah.
When reality of like even basic communication is like, you are always interpreting it like your way. It's like, I had a conversation with a friend that there was like a little problem. We talked it out, but immediately she went into the conversation looking for an apology.
Yeah.
And very quickly she was like, by the way, you haven't said sorry yet. And I was like, are we having a conversation or are you just looking
for an apology? Yeah.
Well,
establish
you know
what it is
like,
you want. If this is some passive aggressive approach to get an apology out of me.
But exactly if I was like, hey, this is a discussion.
Yeah.
Because you know I didn't intend to hurt you and I know you didn't intend to hurt me.
Yeah.
So if we both came in and you're just like, you're going to say sorry? It's like, well, this...
What is this?
That's not productive because people I'm not really friends with. I've done the like, I'm so sorry, da, 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 just to be like, let's fucking get through this and over this.
Yeah,
it wasn't worth the conversation.
I'm a quick to apologize person just because I don't want to hurt anyone's fucking feelings. And by the way, if anyone's been listening to this and I've hurt your feelings, I apologize. I really don't mean, like, I feel the way I feel. And if you want to talk about it, like, if don't come for me in the comment section and talk shit about me. Like, if you want to talk about something I've said, if you disagree with me, DM me. Let's have a conversation about it. Let's like find common ground. Like, I'm not an evil person. Like, maybe I'm saying something that you don't agree with, but like, that's okay. We're not going to agree with every single thing people say, but like we're all doing our best. Like, there's no one out there who's like, you want to know what? I'm going to try and get it wrong today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try and
I want
just
to make
fuck
people upset.
Everything up and be really off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the most off-putting person in your life is doing their best. That's what's crazy.
Or at least they think they are. Yeah.
Like, my mom, who is absolutely one of the heaviest, worst people to talk to, I do realize she is doing her best.
Mm-hmm.
with all the tools in her toolbox, that's what she's showing up with for the day. Yeah. And it might be awful, but she is doing her best. And every single person is doing the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, the number one thing, you know, when you go to therapy is they're like, especially with family, they're like, no one grows up unscathed.
Yeah, no one.
Like no one's parents are perfect. Your parents are people.
Yeah, your parents are people.
They are people.
I mean, you know what? There are a lot of people who had great parents.
Yeah, I have very great parents. I still have like little things with them from growing up, and maybe something they said, maybe something they did. But I'm not harboring that for the rest of my life.
Oh, I am holding on.
But it's
on.
Interesting, it's of like if I talk about it publicly on a podcast, people are very quick to be like, God, her mom is so terrible, or this is so bad. And I'm like, well, you don't know my fucking mom.
It's so funny. I mean? I'll talk all the shit about my mom, and then someone else talks shit about my mom. I'm like, why the fuck are you talking shit about my fucking mom? Why are you talking shit about my fucking... That's my fucking mom, my fucking bitch mom.
Well, also, is it interesting if I sit here and tell you all the nice things my mom did for me today?
Yeah.
Or through my life?
No. Oh, snooze fest.
No.
I was talking about that on stage the other night. I was like, you know, when something bad happens in a comedian's life, a comedian is like thrilled. Like,
not necessarily, but I would argue sometimes it's also just a cultural thing, right? So you're Jewish. You grew up with a Jewish mother.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish mothers and Italian mothers, there's very similar things, very especially when it comes to appearance, body image, whatever. Uh-huh. Even my cousin I just saw.
There's no filter.
Oh, that we just saw. Yeah. That's Persian.
Yeah.
Same fucking thing when it comes to like plastic surgery, like all these little things.
Uh-huh.
Certain cultures are very like, they're more just open and talking about it. And they'll openly say to you like, hey, if you wanted to get a nose job, you could. We'd make it work. And other people are like, oh my God, that's so awful. That's so terrible. Meanwhile, there's some girl sitting somewhere being like, God, I wish my parents would let me get a nose job. Like, it's all relative. You know?
It really is like, oh man, being a Jew is a fucking nightmare.
We do have to rap. I don't know if you want to rap on that.
God, if I end being this podcast on saying being a Jew is a nightmare, a Jew will come for me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right now I'm in a... I had to...
I mean, I just love that you very much are fully yourself. And you don't feel a need to, like, please other people in these conversations. Which makes you interesting to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, like... I'm just old and tired at this point. Like, I'm like... I don't know.
Wait, there was one thing I wanted to bring up. Yeah. We'll end on this. I thought this was great when we were catching up one day. And it was, I think, during one of your breakup times.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying about the whole, like... You know, there's all that bullshit of like men want a woman that's like they can rescue and like be the hero. And your response to me was that then fucking rescue me.
Yeah, rescue
like,
me.
Like fucking do it.
You want to rescue? Fucking.
I welcome it.
Go for it. Go for it. You want a project? I hope you're a fucking EMT. Okay. I hope you're certified in fire rescue, CPR, the Heimlich maneuver. If you can stabilize a compound fracture, get over here and rescue me.
Yeah, you think that's not attractive to me? I would love that.
Yeah, I would love it.
It's like the bad girl. I'm like, yeah, sure. I would love that. I've never had it offered to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not at all like I'm sitting here like, don't. Yeah. And I'm at the point too. I'm just like, oh, you want to actually step up and make my life better in some way and rescue me even a little bit?
Yeah.
Do it. That'd be great. But yeah, and I think a lot of women secretly feel that way. It's like a lot of this advice is always conflicting.
Yeah. The whole, I mean, one of my friends the other day was like, he's like, don't shop for advice on things with your relationship. He's like, just be in your relationship. Cause so often I'm like, I can't trust my own thoughts sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
So I'll go to other people for advice. And he's like, you have to stop doing that. He's like, cause it's inherently making you distrust your own perspective and instincts less.
Mm.
And so I'm like, oh, that's a really good point. Who should I talk to about that? You know, it's like I'm just constantly like outsourcing for all my shit. Because my problem is...
Well, I think there's a difference between saying to someone, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Or like I had a friend call me recently and she said, am I crazy for feeling this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then told me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, you're absolutely not crazy to feel that way. I would feel that way if that was happened to me. I think that's a great thing to have with friends and other people.
That's great.
You know, because I think a lot of times when you talk to people, you do have to clarify, like, do I want you to tell me what to do? Do I want to just vent? Do I want you to validate my feelings a little bit?
I think I want all of them every time I come to someone. I'm like, give me all three of these things at once. Also, tell me what to do. I mean, I grew up going to therapy. I started going to a shrink when I was 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
So like I have very low coping mechanisms. Like I have always learned, like,
shrinks...
file it up and then talk to somebody on Tuesday, you know?
Because shrinks don't tell you what to do.
Well, when you're a child, when you're a kid,
more?
You know, they're just like, here's a puzzle. Your mom's crazy. Move it along. Do you know how many puzzles I've done in a therapist's office? And then I remember once his
God, what was his name? He was so great. I loved my childhood psychiatrist. I ended up working for him. I did my senior project with him. I worked at a mental institution for children with him, but I loved him. I loved him so much. Oh, he was so precious. But I remember one point I was like probably 12 and I was like, I'd been going every week of my life since I was 7 and I was 12 years old. And he was like, you know, Nick, I'm going to just be honest with you. You're a great kid. It's just, there's really not a whole lot we can do if your mom doesn't go into therapy.
Wow. Fair statement.
And he was like, you know, you're up against someone who's like not well and doesn't want to be well.
Mm. Yeah.
He's like, so we're just going to just try to like make it easy for you to like live in the same house as her until you don't have to live in the same house as her.
But I like that realistic approach.
Yeah. So do I. I loved it when he was like, listen, all the tools I have in my arsenal to help you as a child.
Yeah.
With a narcissistic mom, I have reached the end of my tools.
Well, I think it's just great advice in life, too, you can't control other people.
No, not at all.
Whether they like need help the way your mother did or just their own actions.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think I've just gotten better as I've gotten older. Yeah. Like that shit really didn't bother me too much. But it's even more so now where I'm like, not my circus, not my monkeys, you know?
Nah.
Like where I'm just like,
not my chair, not my problem.
Yeah. It can't make people change.
I go to Al-Anon and there's this they say the serenity prayer in Al-Anon. They also say it in like all 12-step programs, but it's really great. It's God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And there has never been a mantra I've had in my life that has worked for me more than that. Like if I am like, I don't know what to do about my mom, serenity prayer. I don't know what to do about my relationship, serenity prayer. I don't know what to do about my career, serenity prayer. It's like the one thing where I'm just like, oh. And it's not even necessarily like God's going to help me as soon as I say this. I'm just like, oh, there's just some things like I just have to know the difference. Like I got to pick and choose my battles.
Well, I would change the prayer to a modern prayer of remind me I can only change myself. I can't change other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to accept that I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret the prayer.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great modern interpretation.
You know, because
you should really like start a 12-step program.
Yeah, I'll start a cult.
The Sparrow approach.
Yeah, the Sparrow approach.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Sparrow does sound like a philosopher.
Does it?
Uh-huh.
It actually is most people say it's a Greek name.
I mean, then very philosophy. Like, yeah, I mean, you're like, you should go into a fucking cave and like look at your shadows.
Should.
I don't know.
I should. We do have to wrap. This has been awesome.
Okay,
I love talking to you.
I love
always.
Talking to you too, always.
And what's your handle for people to follow?
At Nicole Amy, NicoleAimee. And please don't write to me and say it's not pronounced Amy. I know it's not pronounced Amy. It's pronounced MA, but it's just a lot easier to say Nicole Amy. So
I've never heard that pronunciation.
Yeah, well, there's an accent on it. And then people will be like, just so you know, you're not pronouncing your name right. I'm like, it's my fucking name.
Talk to my mom.
Yeah. So, Nicole Amy on all the things. And if you have a problem with anything I have said today, this is in no way a reflection of her or even a reflection of me. Let's just have a fucking conversation. Please don't go off on me in the comment section because
on Reddit, you pussies.
Are people on Reddit all
the
time?
There's not a Reddit group for this, but there is for my other pod and they're just ridiculous.
Okay. Well,
there's a theory on there that I'm not really Italian. That's how crazy it's gone. Anyway, on that note.
I can't wait till I'm on there. There's a theory that I'm not really a Jew. That this is a prosthetic nose.
Truly. You obviously can follow me at Spirica and Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. And if you want to join the Patreons, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.